Time, let's encourage and prime our hearts from the Word of God. Title of tonight's message, The Keeper of Life's Issues. The Keeper of Life's Issues. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Wonderful wisdom of Solomon. Although it's always bittersweet as I read the book of Proverbs. It's one thing to speak wisdom. It's something else to live it. And it's always heartbreaking with Solomon because we know how his testimony ends. His heart was not perfect with God as the heart of David, his father. But for now, during the golden reign of Solomon, during his good years, while he was still serving God, fearing God, and walking in wisdom, and teaching his son, and I can only imagine, I don't know, maybe little Rehoboam, a little cute. I don't know. You know, I don't know the context, okay? But, you know, he's certainly, you know, pleading to his son. But again, this is God's word. All scripture given by inspiration of God is God-breathed, okay? So it's also God's word to us, okay? So, but the context, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. And our main verse for tonight, the word of God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight. And Father, I thank you that even, you know, even though as we are gathered here to praise you, there's so much else that's happening outside these walls, Lord. We think of just the stress and the worry, Lord, in different hospitals, Lord. And we think of the coffee family again, Lord. And but at the same time, we think of all the different lives that are impacted. At the same time, Father, we can just rest in you and trust in you and not be stressed out, not be worried, because, Father, you love us. And I thank you so much, Father, for your mercy and your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Father, that we can meet tonight to worship you. Father, may we truly humble ourselves before you. May we truly have attend to your word, Lord, and just open our minds and our hearts to you. To the truth, and Holy Spirit of God, use me, Lord, to be your mouthpiece, and you know, Lord, in spite of myself, Lord, just fill me with the Holy Spirit, that we would hear from heaven on high, and we give you all the praise. Help us, Lord, to keep our heart with all diligence, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our heart, Scripture tells us, so we know it's true. Our heart determines the type of life that we live, a fulfilled life versus an empty life, a blessed life versus a disappointing life, a victorious life versus a defeated life, a holy life versus a sinful life. To put it in perspective, at least for myself, the heart, kind of like the control tower of our body from which life issues forth. The idea when the scripture uses the word issue, you know, I used to think, you know, I was a big comic book guy. I like collecting comic books, and I always collected monthly issues, okay? That's not what it means here. Someone would tell me when I was growing up, Wing, you got issues. That's kind of also not what it means here, okay? Issues here meaning to come forth, okay? Which you could say that's life issues forth, okay? The idea is issues to come forth, like that woman in the New Testament with the blood hemorrhage, the blood issue of blood for 12 years, continual bleeding, keeps coming forth, okay? Keeps sprouting out like a spring. And so the idea is, from our heart comes forth like a spring all the issues, plural, of our life. All facets of our life issue from our heart, whether it be my personal life, okay, may it be my professional life, may it be my family life, my romantic life, okay. Every aspect of my life comes out from my heart. Even my early life, my midlife. Now be careful, be on guard. Here's where the crisis likes to strike, right? No, not always. But early life, midlife, late life, even end of life. Keep our heart with all diligence. I hope this can encourage us tonight because this is a lifelong application. Again, it always just hits me because Solomon is teaching this to his son, his children. But he didn't heed it himself. And so knowing it is not enough, friends. We need to, of course, obey and do it. Another reason to keep our heart, of course, is because God cares about our heart. He cares about how we feel. John 14:1, we know this verse, right? Let not your, Jesus says, your, fill in the blank, heart, right? Let not your heart be troubled, right? Jesus, God cares about our feelings when it's troubled. He doesn't want it to be troubled. He tells us not to be troubled. We can trust in him, right? He's proclaiming himself to be God, right? Don't miss that one. He says, you believe in God? Yeah. Believe also in me, because I'm also God. Okay, God in God the Son, God the Father, we're two in one, okay, together. God in human form. In fact, everything there is about us, God emphasizes our heart above all else. Don't have to turn there, but just listen along. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. How about this one? When Samuel was going to anoint David, he didn't know it was David, but he knew it was one of the sons of Jesse. When Samuel went there, well, let's turn there. Let's turn there real quick. I just want to emphasize and remind us how much God cares about your heart, our heart. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let's go to verse 7. 1 Samuel 16 and then verse 7. Now, in fact, if you go to verse 6, so the oldest son of Jesse, Eliab, had just come through. And it doesn't show a photo picture of him here. But from what God says to Samuel, it sounds as though Eliab really looked really kingly. Okay? He must have looked pretty tall, pretty broad shoulder. I don't know. In my mind, I think of maybe like a Captain America. Just, oh, what a guy. In fact, if you look at verse 6, back up one verse with me. It says, and it came to pass when they were come. So all the boys come. David's not there yet, right? But all the other boys come. That he looked. He who? Who's the he? Who's the he? Samuel, right? So he's a man of God. I mean, he's not just some guy off the street. I mean, this is a man of God that walks with God, walks in the Spirit. But even Samuel, okay, got taken away by Eliab's, I don't know, dashing looks, okay? That he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Oh, yeah. God, you knew what you were doing. Eliab, duh. He can be the next Saul. I can see that, totally see that. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, which is what he was doing, or on his, or on the height of his stature, which of course he was also doing that. Like, oh, not this awesome looking guy. Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Which, by the way, this has really encouraged me, because my whole life I've never been a really big guy. But God cares most about your heart. He loves your heart. In fact, in 1 Samuel 13, 14, just back three chapters, remember what Samuel said to Saul? He said, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, right? That was what appealed to God. Out of the thousands in Israel, David, the shepherd, who was watching his father's flock, the heart of David was what God loved. He said, yes, this is the king of Israel that I want. He was a nobody, but God exalted him. Praise God. Okay, God notices the heart that you and I have. In fact, out of David's, all his prowess, right? His combat skills. I mean, boy, he slayed his tens of thousands. I'm like, man, that's, how would you like to put that on your resume? I mean, out of all his prowess, his combat skills, using a sling, you know, playing the harp. Man, this guy David can go tough. He can go gentle. I mean, man, this guy, what a guy. And out of all his achievements, the king of Israel killed Goliath. By the way, killed the bear, killed the lion. Did that too in my spare time. I mean, out of all these things, the point that God emphasizes is David's what? Heart. His heart. Now, man praised David's, you know, external prowess. Saul is thousands. David is 10,000. But God emphasizes his heart. So what does it mean to keep thy heart? Let's go back to our main verse. So Proverbs 4. So the heart's a big deal. Your heart is a big, big deal to God. Let's go back to Proverbs 4. Our main verse. Verse 23, so keep thy heart with all diligence. No, keep, yes, keep does mean, I guess, synonyms, you know. Keep does mean to guard. Okay, so be guarded. So keep your heart, guard your heart. Okay, but the word keep is a wonderful word because it can mean a verb, which, you know, to guard it, to keep it. But it can also be a noun, okay? In fact, the old English, archaic English, the noun for keep, it refers to the strongest part of a castle, a keep, right? The strongest part of a castle, which is typically located right in the center, okay? Right in the center of the fortress. And so you have the castle, and right in the middle, you have the tower or the keep. It is the safest place in the whole castle, in the whole fortress. No uninvited guests. Well, hopefully not, all right? You have to breach all the other walls to get in. No trespasses, no enemies. And so this is a huge application because God wants us to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because what goes into our heart takes it over, all right? It's like conquest. Okay, you want to capture the flag, you have the enemy territory, you have the city. In the city, you have the castle. In the castle, you have the keep. And what gets into the keep can take over the whole castle, the whole keep. Matthew 15:19, Jesus says, when he's speaking to, you know, the Pharisees, for out of the heart proceed what? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. And so, friends, if we let sin into my heart, the issues of life that will come out is going to be twisted, tainted, and ruled by sin. Okay? Now, this verse is true no matter what. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the flowing, okay, the springing forth of life. This verse is true. It's not going to change no matter what. But the quality of life that would issue from your heart, that's TBD, all right? That's to be determined based on how well we keep our heart. Make sense? It's going to issue forth no matter what. But if what I keep out won't taint it, okay? So don't let sin into your heart. Now, if keeping our heart is so important, well, then it beckons the question, who all should have access to our heart, right? If God wants us to keep our heart with all diligence, who all should have access to our heart? Well, let's use an example first. Who would you let have access to your bank account? Let's just start there. Most of us would say no one. Couples just say spouse. That's it, right? I mean, you won't want someone to have access to your bank account unless they had the same heart as you. Therefore, they would, you know, you could trust them, right? They won't spend on something that you didn't want them to spend on. Certainly not your, you know, your buddies. I mean, hey, we're friends. That's good. I'll give you what you need. But I don't think it's a good idea to share bank accounts, okay? You know what I'm saying? And so if we won't even share our bank account with mostly anyone, please be on a lookout on who you share your heart with. Don't let sin, like lust, bitterness, anger, wrath. I mean, a whole list goes on here. I just have a list here just so I don't forget to say it. But wrath, envy, covetousness, discouragement, you know, keep out discouragement, keep out despair, keep out fear. Be careful what we let into our heart. So, keeping our hearts important, I got that. What's the best way to keep our heart? Well, we can pray about it. That's good to do that. But let's go up to verse 20, because the scripture gets more specific. Let's go up to verse 20. What's the best way to keep our heart? Now, again, remember, this is Solomon speaking to, I like to imagine, just a young, a young Rehoboam. Maybe he recited this to him continually throughout his growing up. I don't know. But again, it's God's word to us. So it's, again, God speaking to us, even though it was Solomon speaking to his son, is God speaking to us. And look at verse 20. My son, it shows relation with God. Got to be saved. Have to be saved. Unless you are born again, you're not a child of God. You're a child of wrath. You have to be born again. And again, it's a wonderful that scripture uses a forever term, like son or child. Because my friends, I can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I can be a Christian. But to be a son or a daughter denotes foreverness, because salvation is forever. And a relationship with a parent never changes, even though the relationship might sour okay? That birth relationship never changes. You can have a child and a parent who have lost contact. They don't talk. They hate each other. They don't speak to each other anymore. It doesn't matter. The DNA of mom and dad is still in the child. The child is still their son no matter what. Okay, it's a forever term. So got to get saved. My son, and then notice what he says here. Attend to my words, God's word. And God is pleading. God is instructing. God is commanding. He's asking to attend to his words. Now, attend, it means heed, take heed. It means obey. But I also like, we also use the word attend as like attendance, show up, okay, be present. Okay, so be there. But to also to attend to someone means to what? To serve them, right? To wait on them. And so to submit and to serve, to submit and to obey, take heed to what he's going to say. God's personal words, to my words. I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but for myself, when I became a Christian, a new Christian, this was 2001, shortly after I got saved, probably the biggest, most influential thing I did concerning my Bible reading was not how many chapters I read every day, but it was my perception of what I was reading, that it wasn't just man's word. It was God's word. It was God speaking to me. I loved his word, even though I didn't quite understand what I was reading. In fact, I would sleep. I would go to bed with my Bible, all right? That's kind of my teddy bear. But God's word, it's God wants us to attend to his word. All right, now this is pretty awesome. All right, Lord, you have my attention. I want to attend to your word. How do I do that? How do I attend to your word? Okay, look at the verses closely. Notice the semicolons. This is pretty cool. So verse 20, my son, attend to my words, semicolon. And then there's going to be some, verses that go on, the rest of verse 20. And then the second half of verse 21, and then semicolon again. Okay, so it's kind of like a two-step process of how we attend to God's word. If we do that, then we were able to keep God's word. Okay, so look at verse 20, the second half. All right, how do we attend to God's word? The first, second half of verse 20. Incline thine, what? Ear. Okay, incline thine ear unto. This is pretty cool because God is going to speak on body parts here. You have ear, looking forward, plus eye equals heart. Okay, we're going to get to that. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. In other words, hear with the ear God's word. Listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. And preaching is God's way of using fallible men to manifest his infallible truth. Okay, this is huge. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, and then maybe you can relate to what I'm going to share. Let's go to Titus chapter 1, New Testament. I just want to share one verse. It's pretty, I don't know, I thought it's always pretty fascinating to see it here. Titus chapter 1, after the Timothy's, you have Titus 1. And then look at verse 3. Titus 1, verse 3. Word of God says, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. Amen. Paul got it. He preached it. Okay, and God has chosen preaching to manifest. To manifest means to make known, to proclaim, to magnify, to make it real. And here's what I mean by that. I've been so blessed and convicted to, I love getting preached at. In fact, the only downside of pastoring, I don't get to get preached at very often. But I miss that. But I love to get preached at. But I can hear a message from a passage I've read so many times. And I know what the passage even says. But I can hear it preached to me and it'll hit me. And I'll go, oh Lord, it doesn't hit me here anymore intellectually. When I hear it, even though I know it, it hits me here. I still remember the preacher said, turn to Ezekiel 22. And I, oh boy, I already got convicted. I knew he was going to preach on Stand in the Gap. That was what he was on. All he said was Ezekiel 22. And I, oh, he looked for a man. Stand in the hedge, stand in the gap, make up the hedge, couldn't find one, okay? Could find none. I'm just saying, when the way that God knows that we are hardwired. We can read it, which we should. But when we also hear it, it can hit differently. Remember what Paul said to Romans 10, verse 17? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. I mean, yes, reading is true. But there God says, hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so you hear, incline your ear. Now, that's not the only one. It's a 1-2 punch to get the whole combo. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And then verse 22. Okay. Verse 21. So number one is incline your ear to my saying, God's saying. Then verse 21, let them not depart from thine what? Eyes. In other words, read your Bible. I mean, this is kind of the basic, right? Okay, but it's so true. Read your Bible. Let them not depart. So read your Bible continually, faithfully, consistently. Keep reading God's word. And when we do both, hearing God's word preached, reading God's Bible, God's word, it's a 1-2 punch. God uses that to come in from our eyes into our ears. And if we are attending to God's word so that the whole attitude of how we are receiving it, not just, you know, don't let any stumbling block get in the way. When we truly attend to God's word the way that we ought to, with the right attitude, it's going to settle where? From the eyes and the ears, it's going to settle in the heart. It's going to settle in the heart. Where in the heart? Let them not depart from thine eyes. So we do that, semicolon. Okay, so those two is kind of mix up how we attend to God's word. What happens? Keep them in the midst, which is middle, of thine heart. The word keep there, again, same thing that you find in verse 23. So the keep, you know, but it's also like our heart has a little castle and there's a little keep in the middle. Okay, so it's kind of like that. It gets down into the keep of our heart, okay, the middle of our heart, when we read God's word and when we hear God's word. Now, what does this have to do with keeping our heart? Everything. It has everything to do with keeping our heart. Why? Because keeping our heart has two applications. Number one, who we keep out, what we keep out, sin, lust, we get it, okay, what we keep out, who we keep out, but also, number two, who we let in. Who we let in is a two application. Keeping our heart is two steps. Who we keep out and who we let in. And friends, do we know that if we let the right person in, he will keep all the sin and bad decisions out? His name is Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Therefore, the only way we can keep our hearts is by keeping it filled with the Word of God. We can't keep our heart in our own strength. It doesn't work that way. Jesus has to be in there. We let him in, he keeps all the bad guys out. Verse 22. For Jesus loves us. He will not steer us wrong. Look at verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them. This is God's word, okay? By the way, it's not hard to find. This is exactly what Jesus is speaking about when he says, seek and ye shall find. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, it shall be opened. He's not talking about worldly things. He's talking about spiritual things, specifically his Holy Spirit, through the power of his word. If you seek for him, he will be found of you. And health to all their flesh. This is wonderful, not just spiritually, but this is speaking. When it says flesh, it is speaking about our physical bodies, our physical flesh. Okay, the general well-being of our bodies, just as a, you know, user's manual tells us how to maintain our car for the health of the car, the vehicle. Okay, so our designer and creator tells us in his word what we need to do to maintain the well-being of us. Okay, so that's kind of the same application. Open our hearts to the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Let's go to verse 26. 23 and then verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, they go hand in hand as one verse. But there's one thing that we need to realize, too, that the first half of this verse kind of determines our attitude of the second half. In other words, can I share with you, I was not a very academic student, okay, in high school. Second grade, my claim to fame, I got 10 Fs. I told my mom that. She wasn't very pleased. And most through high school, I like biology. I gave my heart to that subject. Math, okay. But history, oh no. I was not a history guy. It already happened, so it's irrelevant. Okay, I understand you can learn from it. I get it, all right. We're doomed to repeat the past if we don't learn. Okay, I get it. But to me, I was more future thinking, like, okay, it doesn't matter what happens now. You know, okay, anyway, but I did not give my heart to the history subject. And so everything that my eye observed in class was a chore. It was a drag. It was dull. It was boring. It was a waste of time. My friends, can I share with you, if you don't give your heart to God, when you read His Word, you're going to be bored. If you don't realize the words that you are reading, if you don't realize there's this extra too, okay? The blood of people, the martyrs that have died, okay? That's just bonus, okay? But if we don't give our hearts to God, church service will be like blah, blah, blah. If we don't give our hearts to the Lord, singing to the Lord will be just something else to do during a service. If we don't, it starts with the heart. Give God your heart. It would change what your eyes observe. When you observe it, you eagerly observe it. Oh, I can't wait to see more. Or, more of this. Why? Because it starts with the heart. When did Solomon start having problems? Well, we don't have to turn there, but you know, when he get all his wives and they turn his heart away from God. That's when he started going downhill. By the way, perhaps you have a hurt heart. Perhaps you have a bruised heart, a tainted heart. God can help. Let's go to Psalm 51 and we'll close there. Psalm 51. Now, this is, of course, David, no less. After he had been found out committing adultery with Bathsheba and slaying Uriah the Hittite and lost his son as a result, when Nathan the prophet had rebuked him. David's at a pretty down in the dumps here. But notice what it says in verse 10, Psalm 51. He knew that he had messed up. He had let the wrong thing into his heart. Shouldn't have. Of course, he saw her on the balcony, and that's when lust crept in. The rest we know what happened. Went downhill from there. But here he says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. He's praising and singing and praying to the only one that can give him a new heart. Not his best friend, you know, not a confidant, you know, not his counselor. I mean, these are folks that can certainly bless us and encourage us. But when it comes to giving us a new heart, only God can do that. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wow, what a testimony. Praise God for David's heart. He was a man of God's own heart because even though he sinned, he came back to God. He didn't just go off the deep end. Right, like Saul. What an encouragement. God loves you, my friends. He loves you. And he didn't just save us to let us go. He saves us so that he can be part of our lives. And he wants the best life for all of us. He doesn't want us to get bitter. He wants us to be blessed. Give our hearts to him. May we keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues, all the springs of life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. And so, Father, we thank you so much for the gift of prayer. Lord, when I consider just who I'm even speaking to now, Lord, that is just mind-blowing. Thank you, Father, that you hear me, you hear us. Thank you, Father, for your precious word, that you nourish us with it. I thank you, Father, that your word warns me of myself, Lord. And so I need you in my heart always, because I do things in spite of myself, Lord. I do things that I shoot myself in the foot all the time. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and goodness to us. Help us always to keep our heart with all diligence. And we give you all the praise. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in all the issues of our life. In his name we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord.